Be as open as you can to different opportunities.
Welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. This is Michael Golab. Today I'm talking to Shakira Dowling. Shakira is a casting director specializing in independent British feature films and European co-productions alongside television and commercials, many of which have been internationally recognized and gone to be nominated for multiple awards, including BAFTAs and BIFFAs, British Independent Film Awards, and at festivals from Sundance to TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. We talk about the importance of completely immersing yourself in your chosen subject, the crucial skill of not being afraid of bringing yourself to the table, the significance of knowing the genre you're auditioning for, tips on how to email a casting director, the importance of not limiting yourself, and so much more. And now I bring you Shakira Dowling. Hi, Shakira.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, yeah, not too bad.
Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's really nice to be asked, to be honest.
What do you love the most about working as a casting director?
Oh, gosh. Wow, that's a big question. I love everything about working as a casting director. I feel very privileged to do what I do. I love it so much. Obviously, the greatest joy is actually giving someone a job at the end of their process. So yesterday we gave out two offers, and today we're giving two offers. And just the response is just so lovely, because you know that those actors have worked so hard to get to that point. Even if they're bigger names, they still have, you know, met with the director online or whatever, or even screen tested if it's a really big film. But even if it's just a first timer, it's always a really great joy to hear, oh my God, they're so excited, you know, to be on this project with you. Yeah, that's the best fit, definitely. The hard work comes way before then.
What would you say is the hardest part of that kind of work?
I think that varies project to project, but I suppose, you know, the thing I love is reading a script and, you know, visualizing who I would put, you know, kind of like fantasy football type casting. Do you know what I mean? When I'm first reading, not being aware of the budget or who the director is or whatever, and then putting those things into place. So meeting with the director, understanding their vision, knowing the budget and how much I've got to work with in terms of monies for the actors pool, you know, all of those things feed into where you end up, what you end up with, if you know what I mean. All are key parts of being a casting director, to be honest. So once you've got all of that in place in your head, it's like a little jigsaw puzzle that you start putting pieces into.
Oh, interesting. What would your main advice be to someone who'd like to succeed as a casting director or as a filmmaker or actor? Sorry, these are three questions, actually.
Yeah, that is. As a casting director, get as much experience as you can, whether it's production running or working for an agent, working for a studio, a casting suite, a casting director, as much work experience as you can. It all feeds in. It's like, you need to know how all of those bits fit to each other. Lots of people start even working at Spotlight or something, you know, as a receptionist. You just get to know how it works. Many people freelance for lots of different casting directors before they get to the point where they actually get a job as an assistant or whatever. But yeah, it's as much knowledge as possible of that part of the industry. And then obviously your knowledge of actors is key. I mean, I'm addicted to film. Personally, film is where I really love independent film. I watch constantly. I know who's doing what and how it's going and all of that stuff. But, you know, if you're into telly, exactly that, knowing as much information as you can about actors who work in those spaces, it's really, really key. Kind of addicted to actors. Yeah, that's you've got to have that love, really, and that knowledge. And there's no way of getting that knowledge without being a bit of a boffin, you know. I was listening to something on Clubhouse yesterday, which was a load of directors and producers who work in independent horror, but, you know, quite high-end horror. And all of them were just like, yeah, I was just a horror, you know, boffin, basically. I know everything about horror. I've seen every film. You kind of have to be that person. You have to be a kind of, I love this. I dream it. I wake up with it in my head. That's the way you succeed, I think. So, that's moving into the filmmakers. Yes, exactly that. You know your stuff. So when you're in front of, you know, when you're pitching, whatever it is, I pitch for jobs, just like actors go in an audition and that's their pitch. Whatever your pitch is, whether you're an actor or a filmmaker, you're confident with your material because you know everything about it. You know, nothing's going to trip you up because, you know, it's your subject. It's your thing.
And as an actor, would you say the same thing to an actor? He has to know everything about, well, film, theatre.
I think if
get as much exposure as possible.
As much exposure, exactly, as possible. I think that's the main thing. I think actors sometimes get a little bit into their own head, and they forget that, you know, they'll get some sides to learn, you know, self-taping or whatever. They forget that they kind of need to see the bigger picture as well. It's like you're a piece in that puzzle that I was just talking about. So what is the bigger picture? What's the genre of the film that you're auditioning for? Because the style will kind of be a little bit related to that. So, you know, if it's a romantic comedy, you know how you're, again, you're pitching it, how you're playing that part to if it was a horror or if it was a thriller, or if it was Hollyoaks as opposed to, I don't know, an HBO sort of 24 or something. You know, they're quite different shows, aren't they? And the style of the acting, the style of what we look for kind of is, you know, it also comes with that. So, yeah, I would say look at the bigger picture as an actor.
And do your research.
See what the director's done before. It's usually quite obvious immediately of what they're trying to create, just having looked at their style. Even if it's a completely different genre, you kind of get an idea of who they are. And that texture, do you know what I mean? It's about the texture of the acting that you're creating. Because that's what we're doing. We're making sure that the director's vision is what we achieve in our casting.
That the whole thing fits.
Because
you, Shakira, you started out as an actress as well, didn't you?
Yes, many, many, many moons ago, correct.
How would you say that informed you in your job as a casting director? Would you say that your approach is different because of that?
I do think when I've got actors in the room, I know what that feeling is like. Hopefully that feeds into the experience that the actor gets. Can't say that's 100% of the time, because sometimes we're doing a commercial, for example, which is completely different sort of way of casting, and it's in and out, as you've probably experienced yourself. We're running late, the pressures are really high, often there's the agency in the room and the producer and the director, and suddenly there's 20 people and they're all on their laptops tinkling away, and you're trying to do your job without being rude, telling them to stop. But they are the ones paying for the whole thing, so you can't. I can't say every time the experience will be amazing with me, but I hope that I hope to achieve that the actors do feel comfortable, and the spaces I use to cast are comfortable, and there's enough gaps between people that they don't constantly sit there going, oh, there's four clones of me waiting to come in to see her.
Wow.
Which all those things used to really upset me. You know, you'd be there and you'd be like, okay, I am literally one of four clones, exactly the same as me. They all look, you know, that sort of Arabic Mediterranean looks that I have. And, you know, you're sitting there, and if you're waiting for like more than 15 minutes, your head starts to play all sorts of games, doesn't it? Which is the last thing you need when you're actually should be going in and shining. Yeah.
So you see it from an actor's perspective.
I do. But also when I'm reading scripts, so when we're pitching, you know, the lead role to a really big A-list name, and I would ask the director to maybe write a letter, or we'd put together a pitch document or whatever, and I would read that as an actor would read it. So I kind of feed back to my director and producer, like, actors, you know, don't really care who the stunt guy is, but they do really care who the DOP is. So can we just highlight the DOP's work a bit more? Do you know what I mean? Little bits like that, or the way they've written something, I might kind of give them tips on how to rewrite it to make it more actor friendly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
What would your advice be to your younger self?
Don't be afraid to kind of go with the flow and see where life takes you, I'd say. You know, that whole I've got a 5-year plan thing, and this is where I want to be, and I want to be doing telly by this time, et cetera, et cetera. It's, you know, the life of a freelancer is hard, and you either make peace with it or you battle with it for the rest of your life. And I know really big actors who still battle with the freelance world, you know, and they work constantly, and they still have this, you know, love-hate relationship with it. So I would say, yeah, make peace with the fact that you are a freelancer and you need to be able to go with the flow as much as possible. And sometimes life takes you in places that you weren't expecting to be, really.
So it's about letting go, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Letting go and just being at one with what the universe wants to actually throw at you.
Mm. Do you have a letting go ritual or anything you do to find peace at the end of a stressful day, or when you find yourself that, you know, because we all want to control the situation oftentimes, don't we? Like, how do you let go?
I try and do yoga 3 times a week. That doesn't always work because sometimes I end up working through because of working across countries, of course, when you're working with LA or South Africa or wherever, you're constantly having to take those phone calls at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30 at night, which is generally when you want to be doing. And, you know, it's really hard because if you miss your opportunity, my general time is 6 o'clock yoga. If I miss that, then I'm too tired to do it. And I've got too many home commitments, like making food for my children. And do you know what I mean? And getting their routine into some order. If I miss that spot, I'm kind of screwed for that day. So yes, I try 3 times a week. I probably only hit maybe twice a week, to be perfectly honest, when we're busy, but it does make a huge difference. I mean, any form of meditation and yoga, I'd say, is what works for me. I also walk the dog every day. I walk the dog every day, every morning before I start work. But yeah.
They give you a lot of energy, don't they? A lot of positive energy.
Mm. Well, just walking, yeah. Even if it's freezing cold, as well. You're in the woods, you've got the ground under your feet, you know, find some open spaces, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nature as well, like parks, nature. Anything.
Exactly, so true. Exactly.
What kind of yoga do you practice?
Oh, flow, generally, yeah. Yeah, just, yeah, it's really good, just really good to make you stop thinking about everything. Put your day away, you know, put the work day away and move into the evening.
What's that mean, flow? Is that a certain...
Like an Ashtanga, but not quite as fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, interesting.
So it's a moving meditation, yeah, as opposed to holding positions a long time.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, oh, that's why it's flow. Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay, cool. Why is it important to keep creating good theatre, good films? Why is storytelling important?
Oh my God. I think we would all die if we didn't tell stories, no? especially as I mean, we've all been stuck inside so much, haven't we, this year? It's been quite a crazy year. And what have people been doing? Well, everyone's subscribed to Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime and whatever we can get our hands on, really. Mubi did a 3-month free subscription. Everyone did a 3-month or 2-month free subscription. And I think now we're all addicted to watching things, which is not a bad thing. I would say I don't think I could survive. I mean, I love reading as well, but sometimes it's harder to read when you're stressed because, you know, just actually to concentrate. Do you know what I mean? Or I find it anyway. I mean, I love reading scripts. That's a different thing because that's a work reading. I love picking up a good book. But don't do it as much as I would like to, because generally there is a script that needs reading or need to catch up on some form of film or television, because I'm about to speak to the producer or everybody's talking about it or everyone's talking about that actor. But yeah, I find it easier to turn on a movie and, you know, switch the rest of my brain off more than anything else. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite books, any book that's changed your thinking or influenced you the most in the last few years?
Ooh, that is a good question. Not really, no. I mean, I tend to, if I'm working on a like biopic or working on something that's adapted from the book, I tend to read the book.
Would you say like film-wise or TV series-wise, anything that you find really...
Well, inspiring.
Inspiring, yeah.
Oh, there's so much. There really is. And there's always something that I think we're creating so many good things at the moment. I can't say. I was on the BAFTA voting panel and was obviously watching the BAFTAs the other day, and just reminded me how much talent is out there on both sides of the screen, really. All incredible films and quite different to each other, made quite differently, put together, produced quite differently to each other. And yeah.
Anything particularly inspiring that you saw
this year? Rocks was incredible. Obviously the casting was incredible, the way they cast it, the way they put it together was incredible. Really inspiring.
What unpopular beliefs do you hold? Where would you say you diverge from the crowd in your work, life, etc.?
Unpopular?
Mm-hmm.
As in different or just not?
Yeah, as in like different, like not what the mainstream kind of way of doing this particular thing would be.
That's a good question. I don't know if I have any. I mean, I probably do. I mean, I think we, as casting directors, we all work very differently, which is why people employ us, as opposed to we're not clones of each other, because it isn't a job, I don't know, like a production secretary, where as long as somebody's efficient, they can get the job done. It's all about taste, isn't it? It's about personal taste, and it's about the way I see things as opposed to the next casting director, and whether my chemistry with the director and the producer is going to work, like our collective ideas match in some way, or we challenge each other's ideas in a positive way. Yeah, so I would say it's so much about personal taste. Our industry is so much about taste. Similarly to actors, it's what you bring to the table is, you know, your talent. It's not about talent. It's more about the way you see the world, and what you bring is different to the next person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your essence, qualities, or your experience of the world has given you the tools to create that character, which are different tools to, yeah, if you imagine, let's take the casting of Rocks, for example, you know, Buki, who just won the BAFTA, was just incredible in it. But when you speak to her or see her in talks, her experience of the world all feels feeds into what she created there, which is very different to another 18-year-old or 16-year-old or how old she was when she did it. Her experience.
I'm afraid I haven't seen the film yet. I'll make sure to check it out.
You definitely need to check it out. I think everyone should see that film.
Cool. Yeah, so basically bring yourself to the table, whatever you do.
Mm. Yeah, it's about your experience, your authentic self, and not being afraid of that. Because I think sometimes we all want to be this kind of Instagram clone, you know, of the perfect actor, the perfect casting director. And actually, do you know what I mean? The perfect person. Yeah. And like, actually, there is
what's the formula for success? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so exactly that. Because people often ask, "So what can you do to get a job?" Well, you can bring something to the table that works for that project. There is no magic formula, but when it happens, it is magic. It really does. Often enough, we're in a casting suite, and like the whole. Whoever's there, the producer, director, me, my assistant, we'll all just stop and we're fine, but we're literally holding our breath at the same time when someone just does something. And then we just look at each other and it's not even a, do we need to discuss this moment? It's a bloody hell, I think we found the one.
Mm. Okay.
It really is like magic happens. Mm.
Mutual feeling that spreads in the room. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because someone's done something so special. And it's amazing when that happens. It really is.
Hmm. What would you say are the greatest mistakes that actors make in an audition or when approaching a casting director?
Greatest mistakes. I think the greatest mistake I always find is when you put yourself on the back foot before you've even started. So if you walk in to either the room or even just walking down the corridor and the first thing you're saying is, I'm really sorry I was late. I'm really sorry I didn't learn my lines properly. I'm really sorry this. I'm really sorry that. Even if it was, oh yeah, because I couldn't print. I mean, it literally does sound like the dog at my homework. It does. That's how it comes across, no matter what the excuse is, no matter I couldn't print it because I was on a flight from New Zealand all night. If that is the case, just get your
agent.
That's
a great excuse, though.
Oh, no, I've had everything. Honestly, I've had everything. But even if that is the case, get your agent to just send me a message saying, hope it's okay. He'll be reading off his iPad. He's been on a flight from New Zealand all night. He doesn't want to miss the audition. That's all. Or she's running late because the trains from Brighton have been stopped. Really sorry. Can you see her half an hour later? Every single time I will accommodate that. Every single time, because I know life happens to all of us. I mean, I have children. Life happens to all of us. There are days that just do not go right. But don't make things worse by literally coming in flustered, going, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Because you're not giving your best self. Let your people do that for you. That's why you have an agent. Let them do the, you know, sorries and all of that stuff. You come in and you go, my agent told you that I've got to have a script, and I'll just literally nod and go, absolutely, and we'll get on with it as though it's a normal casting. There's no need to make a fuss. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. But would you say that as long as it's not fussy, as long as it's short and brief and say, sorry again for this inconvenience, that it's okay? Or would you say just leave it out totally?
I would say you can do it afterwards, to be honest, because that's when you can say, really, thank you for accommodating that. You know, thank you so much for accommodating that. Or, you know, just make it as a positive experience, or if you're walking down the corridor and you literally have been half an hour late because of the trains, you just say, I really appreciate that you managed to move things around for me. That's it. It's a positive response. It's not a put myself on the back foot, because you're bringing that negativity into the room, which really impacts on the room. It really does.
I see. And maybe like if you do, then don't linger there. Like if you say it, just make it brief and then move on and get straight to the job or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
I see what you mean.
Exactly. It's a really common one, though. That's the most common mistake, because I can see that people have put themselves in a negative space where they're a bit nervous about things because they're in that negative space, rather than just coming in, you know, focusing on the character and meeting a new director and all of that stuff. The other thing I would say not to do at this point in time because of Corona is not try and shake everyone's hand in the room. You'll find that we'll be sitting on our hands a lot. I didn't like it before. I always used to find it very difficult when people came to shake your hands, because it's very hard to not say, you know, to say no. But when you're seeing 30 people every 2 hours or whatever, you're kind of very aware of how many hands you've shaken anyway. Even in just a normal winter, you'd be like, okay, need to go and wash my hands now. So I'd say nowadays the no-no on the shaking of hands.
I don't think that'll happen much now anyway. Yeah. No hugs anymore.
No hugs, unfortunately. Lots of elbow bumps. Yeah.
Just XXX via text message. XX. Nice to see you. That's Corona safe. No, so, interesting. And what would you say are the greatest mistakes in when, I don't know, an actor writes to you and writes you an email or approaches you to say, hi, I'm here. Like, what would you say is...
The greatest mistake would be writing a whole essay, to be perfectly honest. An essay, and or the opposite. That's also an essay. Someone did it the other day where they clearly had gone on my website and wrote down, or on my IMDb, and wrote down every job I'd ever done and said, I loved this that you cast. And I was like, yeah, okay. That took you a long time to list every single job I've done in the last, you know, 10 years. And it hasn't won you any brownie points, because I just think, yeah, you couldn't have seen all of that anyway. And I'm not sure why you're telling me this even. Yeah. There is positives of actually writing to someone when you've seen something that they've done recently, like a casting director that you've seen something that you really enjoyed. So say you were at the London Film Festival and you saw, I don't know, Nocturnal. The last time we had a real London Film Festival as opposed to virtual.
Yeah.
So that was my last film there. You know, if you were at the premiere or you were at the film and you really loved it, sending a quick, literally three-line email to either the casting director or the director or whoever you want to connect with to say, I just wanted to say I absolutely loved it, congratulations. Whether it's on a DM or on an email with a link to your spotlight underneath your name or something, that's it. That's all. There's more positive doing that than... an essay about your life story and how you think you are the best actor for this job.
Oh, yeah, because people don't really have time to read all that anyway.
Not when I literally wake up pretty much every day and there's 300 emails before I've even started working. And yeah, actually, yeah, so no.
How do you filter through all of this? Is it your assistant? How do you do that?
Well, we have several systems in place. I will put another good tip is don't ever attach a big photo, large photo, large attachments, or put a video into your, you know, attached to your email. It will get filtered out before it gets anywhere near me or my assistant, to be perfectly honest. Links to things are perfect. Short, sweet, and links to things, and a little thumbnail picture of yourself, so we've got a visual reference of who's talking to us.
Like a thumbnail under the signature. Like
exactly. Exactly. Oh, interesting. And your spotlight link or your showreel link or whatever. Links are great, but attachments, oh my lord, they're the bane of our lives.
Because it's such a recurring theme, the whole headshot thing, because it is literally the first thing that casting directors, agents see, right? Or a director even sees.
Correct.
So if that headshot isn't good or isn't there, then there's a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't say I want a job and not have links to your work.
Yeah.
We have quite
especially
a lot
good
of
headshots.
Yeah. Yeah.
We spoke about this on a previous podcast that it's kind of tricky to get a really good headshot shot like that really represents you, that is you, and is also a good headshot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so worth it though, because without it, you're like, yeah, there's
yeah.
no way.
There's no way. Unfortunately, it is the main representation of you, isn't it?
Hmm. Do you have any headshot photographers that you like?
No idea. I really don't even know who they are. I try not to get involved, to be perfectly honest.
Fair enough. Mm.
Fair yeah. enough. I never look who's taken that photo or anything like that.
It just either speaks to you or it doesn't. Mm.
Yeah, exactly that.
In the last 5 years, like, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Ah, that's a good question. To tell you the truth, I thought, well, for a while, I had really good work-life balance, and that had been a positive thing, because a lot of the time we work day and night, there doesn't seem to be any filters on when people call you or message you on WhatsApp and expect a response straight away. That was suddenly all clicking into place. And then, COVID happened, and now it's gone completely out the window and the other way. So I'm hoping to reinstate my boundaries on working hours, which have gone a little bit astray in the last year. But I'd say when my younger self would just work all the time, nonstop. You've got deadlines. I'd rather not put things down until it was done rather than keep things, so I wouldn't be sleeping as much as I needed to. I wasn't, eating at the right time. I wasn't picking up my, I have children. I wasn't keeping their routines in place because it was all about the job. So that would be my younger self that I'd tell my younger self not to do. But that all kind of got sorted in the last 5 years. And then, then COVID happened and we're all working from home. And suddenly there's no working hours. Every waking hour is a working hour. Yes.
Mm. So how, Shakira, how are you going to set those boundaries now? Do you reckon? How?
It's a really good question. I think it's starting to happen more and more. Actually going out to work is what really changes it. And I did do a couple of in-person castings last week. I've got two next week, in fact. So slowly but surely, the going out to work thing will happen more and more. And I think that's when it starts to click into place a bit more, because it's like, okay, I'm now back home, so now is home time. Yes, I mean, we're in an odd industry that, I'm expected to go to the theatre or to go to premieres and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love that part of my life. But, sometimes you're working an 8-hour day and then literally grabbing some food and walking into the theatre, and then you're not getting home till midnight. And then you're getting up the next day to do it all over again, which doesn't help for a work-life balance at all. So again, setting those boundaries to doing that once a week, the rest of the time being back.
Uh-huh, okay. So it's more about setting those boundaries to yourself as well.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It's more difficult to like keep them yourself than for other people to respect them, I find, right? Because
I think that's exactly it. But I think if you've, you've obviously organized this with my assistant Bailey, so she does keep my diary quite well. And if I block time out in my diary, she does make sure that is blocked as well.
Mm. Oh, I see.
Mm. So it gets easier as you get, as your organization gets bigger, I suppose, because other people can help on that.
What are your plans for the future? What are the main things on your bucket list?
Mm. One of them I'm doing already. So I'm producing a short film that the BFI have said that they will fund, which is great. We got news of that a couple of weeks ago. And it's a story I really think should be told. Very personal. And I have a wonderful writer, Hayley, who is playing the lead actress as well, and she also had similar experience, so it was something we created together. And we have Maxine Peake directing, which is super exciting. So one of my bucket list will be made this year, hopefully. Will be shot, I think, in July, and yes, so I'm very excited about that. So that was something that happened over lockdown, really. It's something I never hadn't really explored so much. I have produced theatre in the past before I became a casting director, but producing film is on my bucket list, I suppose, and I'm slowly scratching that itch.
Interesting. Where's this interest in producing or in production come from?
I don't think it's so much in producing as such. It's more about making stories happen, making films that I want to see or that I feel should be told.
Oh, okay. So,
more about creating, really, I'd say. It's more about creating, definitely more about creating than it is about producing. Yeah, which is what was happening when I was actually a younger actress. I started producing theatre for that same reason. I was working with new writers to create stories that I want to be told, you know.
And what's the film about, if I may ask, or is it?
I'll leave that for another day because it's quite a heavy subject to go into.
I'd love to know what would you say are the main differences between producing a film and being a casting director? What would you say?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Producing is so much harder. There's so many more elements to think about. As an HOD, as a head of department, whether you're an editor or a casting director, you know, you have your job and you're very much good at your job if you're getting anywhere, I suppose. As a producer, every project is different. You're jumping into the unknown in all sections, even just employing your HODs, unless you're working with teams that you've worked with before, and you know, you're still taking a leap of faith, aren't you? Everything is kind of a bit of a leap of faith, because you might be shooting in another country that you've never even been to. You might, you know, it all is very much script dependent as to what your new challenges are.
What's HID stand for?
Oh, heads of department. So heads of department are the DOP, the editor, the casting director, you know, all the head of costume, head of makeup.
For our listeners, anyone who doesn't know DOP, it's a director of photography.
Director of photography. Listeners. Sorry, yes, of course. Yeah. Mm. So you're taking a lot of leaps of faith, I think, and you are jumping into the unknown on all of those things. Whereas as a casting director, yes, I'm jumping into a new project, which may have multiple challenges. They generally do. I don't know, you might be looking for... I don't know, I'm just thinking of a job that I've done, a 16-year-old girl who is happy to do rape scenes, for example. That's a challenge, and you're looking at actors who are new actors because it's so young, and obviously she'd have to be probably between 16 and 18 to look right, but obviously get away from working hours, but still you've got chaperones. You know, you've got so much to think about immediately just from that one role. I mean, pretty much every single film I do, there's something that you're immediately going, okay, I've got to break that down and see how I'm going to work it. And that's just from a casting point of view. If you're producing, it's everything has to be broken down, and challenges on all of, across the whole board, really, including raising finance, which is, you know, challenging.
Yeah, that must be stressful. Where can people find you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Oh, I'm very easily accessible on all social media and website.
So just your name, Shakira Dowling.
You'll find me everywhere. Yeah.
Brilliant. Any parting words, last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
Parting thoughts. I'd say just, you know, be open. Be as open as you can to different opportunities. You might want to be an actor, but actually you might end up writing or directing or producing. Be open to different experiences.
Or doing all of them, both of them.
All three. Explore the options. I think that's it. Explore your options. Don't limit yourself. Don't say, okay, well, I'm just going to do this, because unless that, you know, your career is taking off, of course. But yes, if you're young and you have the opportunities, I would say try everything. There's something to be had from everything, to be honest. Every experience feeds into your next one.
But even I'd say even when you're older, these things, it still counts. Like, yeah. What are the opportunities? Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Shakira. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you find this podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. You can leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it, and you can share it on social media. It really does help other listeners find us. Make sure to subscribe to get the next episode. Thanks so much for your support.